Last time we spoke about what happens if the borrower doesn't have any money to pay back the loan. That's the fourth and final excuse he can have, and that's a pretty good excuse. However, we described this halacha of sidur, what it means that you don't have money. What it means you don't have money is that the borrower can't have any money, because the halacha is he takes out all his possessions, even his pins, and he's according to Ikar HaDin, he's only left with 30 days worth of food, 12 months worth of clothes. We spoke about Shach says Maker Adini has to give up his house. We saw some kula that first of all could be 12 months he could keep it, Rabbi Yeager said, and Yitzchak Choson said the biggest kula that he can probably have the right to say I'm willing to rent it. That's what the Rashba had said, that you can take the house if he's not willing to rent it. But if he's willing to rent it, so then he could say, look, I'll rent the house until I pay off the debt, and then I'll take my house back. Then we spoke about tools. He's allowed to keep two tools of that he uses for his trade. The animals, the donkey for a donkey driver and the oxen for a farmer, we said weren't really tools. And that also, Pesach Choshen explained, based on his shita, because since they're rentable, since you could rent them, so then he has no right to just keep them cold. He has to rent them out. If he doesn't want to rent them out, so then the Baal Chov can say, I'm taking them for my debt. So this week we're talking about a case where he doesn't even have that, or it's too hard to get it from the best, and he doesn't have any property to speak of. But he also doesn't have a job. So the question is, can the Malveh, can the creditor say, look, you owe me money, you don't have anything, you're renting a house, you don't have any property to pay me with, at least get a job and pay me back. Or if you can't find a job, work for me, I need some work in my house, and I'll deduct your debt daily. Or even if you have a job, so take a night job. You know, your job right now pays for your food and your children and your basic needs, your dinim of sidur. You know, they're just basic needs. You don't have anything extra, so take a second job, take a harder job. Right now you work from 9 to 3, work from 9 to 6, put in extra hours until you pay up your debt. Does the malva, does the creditor have a right to insist that the borrower do that extra work, or do any work, to pay for the loan? It could get to the point where a person has so much debt, he might figure, then why should I work? I'm working for these people, right? So he says he quits his job, and in that case, does the creditor have a right to, in that case, to say, at least take your old job back? You know, you used to have a store, and you closed the store because you were giving us all the money, but that's not right. Open up your store and sell enough merchandise to pay the creditors. That's the question.
Where?
Okay, so the truth is, this was a shiloh that the Rush had. Someone asked the Rush, Klal Ayin Festival, seven days, whether you can do that. Whether you can force a lova. Once again, we're talking not his responsibility, but we'll talk about that later. But in the beginning, can we force a lova? Can we force a borrower to work in order to pay back his debt? And the person that asked the Rosh said, for sure, you should be able to.
I want to make a comment, maybe a parallel. Mishpatim is something, if someone promises to bring a carbon and later on he changes his mind, so you whip him and, you know, until he's so beaten up that he agrees.
Well, that's because he made a neder, and he now has an obligation to pay. So we have an obligation to help him pay. So that's good. Does that apply here? Would that apply to the? Do we force him to the mitzvah of paying back a loan? Now, the difference is, right now, he doesn't have the money, right? Over there, he had the animal, and you're forcing him to do it. Do we have to force him to create money that he doesn't have? That's what we're asking. So the Rush gave two reasons. Like the one that asked the Rush said, of course, Shimon should be able to force the Lova to work in order to pay back the Chov. So the Rush gives two reasons why he shouldn't be able to. The first is from on the first one, the handout on Metziah in Kufya Gimel. The Mishnah says like this: Amav es chaveiro, if someone lends his friend money, and he was getting a little bit nervous whether he'll ever get the money back. And he wants to take a security. He wants to take a mashkan. He wants to take a security from the borrower. Lo yimashkanenu ela bebeitin. He's not allowed to take the security himself. He has to do it through a court. Lo yichanis lebeis ulita mashkanu. He's not allowed to enter the borrower's house to take the article. Shenemar vachustam. And the pasuk says clearly, stand outside, and he'll bring the security out to you. And the Gemara continues on that Mishnah. Arma Shmuel. Shmuel said, Shliach Bezdin also. It's not only that you can't walk into his house. Even the Shliach Bezdin, even the Bezdin, the court, can't send in its agent to take money for security. Mintach Natuchei In. If the borrower is in the street carrying his watch, so then the court agent can, you know, slip the watch off his hand and say, ah, we have your security. Al Mishkuni Lo, but he's not allowed to go into the house and take a security from the borrower. It's a pasuk. Bachutz tam, and you have to stand outside, and he brings a security to you. That's a halacha. Now, the Rosh says, based on that, what do you want to do over here? You want to force him to work. So, forcing him to work is even worse than going to his house to take his security. You're going to his body, and you're saying, we're going to take your body and force you to work to pay the loan. Right? It could be if he actually has money and you want to pay the loan, then the court can go and take his money. We're talking about taking a security. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So over here also, you're not getting collection from him. What you're doing is you're taking his body, forcing him to work in order that he'll pay you back. So that, the Rosh says, is number one reason you can't do that. Then he brings another ayah from the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said there's Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The pasuk says, V'nimka b'gnei vaso. And the person could be sold because of his theft. And the Gemara makes a drasha that the gnei vaso, he could be sold for his theft, but not if he has to pay the double payment. If someone is a ganav, he steals, he has to pay kekel, he has to pay a double penalty. So he could be sold to pay the principal, but if he has enough money for the principal, you can't sell him to pay the knas, that fine of the double of the kekel. The gnei vaso, he could be sold to pay for his geneva, v'lo b'zmamo, but if in case he was a false witness, then he has to pay a penalty for, he said that Shimon stole, and because of that he has to pay what he wanted Shimon to lose. So in that case also, if he doesn't have the money, he can't be sold. He's only sold for what he stole, but not for any other penalty. So the Rabbeinu Tam continues, the Rosh quotes him. The same thing over here is big geneva, so the low lepiro and chavo. He's only sold for something that he stole, but not for a debt that he has to pay. Also, the love of his own is ishto. He doesn't have to pay for if he has to give his wife money from the ksuva, and he doesn't have that money. We can't force him to work to pay that debt. That's a gzeiros hakasuv. So the Rosh says two reasons why you can't force the debtor to work. Now he does bring from a Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Okay, we'll leave that for a second. But that's what the Rosh paskins. These two reasons why you can't force him to work. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this in Choshen Mishpat, Tzadi Zayin Sif Tesvav. Ein Kofen Ozola Hasker Atma. We can't force the Lova, the borrower, to hire himself out. Lo Lasal Shumalacha. We can't force him to do any work. Kedei Lefro, in order to pay. That's a Beferish Halacha from the Rosh, based on these two reasons. Number one, there's a halacha that you can't go inside even his house to take a security. Certainly you can't force him, take his body as a security to make him work. And second, well, there's an example of cost. A big knave also, a person is sold for his theft, but not for paying off a chov. And working is like being a slave. Right? That you have to add in. Working, we'll see more later. But working, when you're working for someone, you're in his control, so you're like a slave. So we can't force you to do that. Now, the Rosh's question was a little bit more complicated, because in the Rosh's question, he had stipulated in the contract, when they had signed the contract, that I owe you $10,000, and he said, if I don't have the money, I'm willing to work for you. So the question was whether that stipulation is valid. So the Rosh said, even a stipulation isn't valid. If you make a stipulation, you're not allowed to. We can't force the Lova to work. Even though he said he would, now he changed his mind, he doesn't want to. We can't force him to work. Now he brings a Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Rishon. The Rosh brings from Rabbeinu Eliyahu that a person is chayiv to rent out, to hire himself out to support his wife. That he is, he is obligated to do, and we can force him to do it. So the Rosh though says it could be that Rabbeinu Eliyahu is only talking about by Iksuva, because in the Iksuva you write down, I know Eflach va'Oker finance, I'm going to work and honor and support my wife. So since he wrote that down in the Ksuva, that's the Nusuch of the Ksuva, so that's why Rabbeinu Eliyahu holds we can force him to carry that out, and we can make him force him to work in order to carry out that obligation. But in a regular case of a debt where there isn't any such Nusuch, you just say, I owe you $20,000. In that case, he said, even Rabbeinu Eliyahu would agree to Rabbeinu Tam and all the others showing him that we cannot force the lover to work. That's the way the Rosh says it, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that also in the same sif. It continues, Afilu hisna al atmo, even if he stipulated about himself, sheyitros ha-malvez gufa, that the malve could seize his body. The kazula zevishtani, wrote it into a document. Eino moel, it doesn't help. Veinu yochel ala osro, the malve is not allowed to put him in jail. The lilishtabilo and not force him to work. You can't force him to do it because the stipulation is null and void. Because of these two reasons, you can't make someone an eved for paying back a loan, and you can't exact security from his house. Certainly you can't make his body a security. So you're puzzled, though, that the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, though, said that it works in a ksuva because you are in a ksuva, I'm going to work, and we say if you say, you give your word, so then they do have a right to force you. So how is the Rosh's case different, where the Lova did write into the Shtar that I'm going to work for it, even if I don't have the money, I commit myself to get a job and work extra to pay it. So what's the difference between a ksuva, where Rabbeinu Eliyahu and the Rosh at least accept such a possibility that he would be forced to work, and a normal, typical loan to a friend or to some other person, where we don't force him to work, even though he made that stipulation? So I have three answers. The Achronim all go on this. Three answers I have are the Prisha, the Bach, and the Mach, and Ephraim. The Prisha answers, there's a difference between a ksuva and any other type of loan. And that's because there's a ksuva, it's a takonis chachamim. The Prisha is over here on the spine, Sadi Zion. There's a takonis chachamim that anyone that gets married has to write in the ksuva that he's committing himself to work to support his wife. And that everyone knows, that when they get married, that's part of the deal. But when I borrow money from you, normal people just borrow money and they'll give back the money. They don't, and they know the halacha is that they can't be forced to work. If they decide to put in an extra stipulation, and I will force myself to work, you can force me to work even if I don't have the money, so that's like an asmachta. We have a concept called asmachta, that certain stipulations don't have any validity. If the stipulation is like beyond any, you know, any normal business sense, like you say, if I don't pay you back in time, I'll pay you back triple. So a stipulation like that is null and void, because that's called a smachta. It's an exaggeration. You didn't really mean it. You thought you were just trying to emphasize to the malva, don't worry, I'll pay you back. I'll even work if I have to. I'll pay you triple if I have to. Right? So that's not a valid tonight. It's not a valid stipulation. So that's what the Prisha says, that even though if you wrote in the ksuva, I'm going to work and support you, that has validity according to at least the Rabbeinu Eliyahu. But in a normal situation of a loan between two people where you don't usually make such a stipulation, if in this case you did, it's null and void, it's an asmachta, and it doesn't have any validity. That's the Prisha's answer. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch passes, well, that even though you made a stipulation, it doesn't count because it's not like a ksuva. It was just an exaggeration. You didn't really mean it. The Bach gives a second answer. The Bach says, Rabbeinu Eliyahu did not mean that the bezin can force the husband to work. What he meant was that the husband, if he makes such a commitment, he has his own obligation to work. But the Beis Din can't force him to. It just means that he has an obligation. So, same thing with Levi alone. It could be that if you write this, you might have an obligation. We'll see soon how true that is. But that doesn't give the Beis Din the right to force you. He says that that you're right, alone is like a ksuva, except you misunderstood the extent of Rabbeinu Eliyahu's chiddush. Rabbeinu Eliyahu just meant that and that's even the lashon of the Rosh. He just said, "Masham Rabbeinu shechayiv lahasker atzmo." He's obligated to hire himself out. Elifan is trying to support his wife, right? The person it's a personal obligation he has, but it doesn't mean the court can force him to do it. And same thing by Elon, the court can't force this person to work. The Machne Ephraim says it's a technicality. He's saying the reason the Rosh said the person doesn't have to follow his stipulations because he didn't make it with all the right nusach. He didn't put in the right wording that it should be a valid tanai. He didn't make a lashon chiyuv. He didn't make it as obligation, like it says in the ksuva. So since he didn't make it as with the proper wording, that's why it doesn't work. But if you would make a stipulation, then he says the Shulchan Aruch would paskin that you could force him to work. The Shulchan Aruch, he says, is talking where it wasn't in the proper wording. So there's a big difference between the answers of how wide we can take this ruling of the Shulchan Aruch. According to the Prisha, the Shulchan Aruch is very simple. The Beis Din can never force someone to work, to pay back a loan, even if he stipulated he would, because he didn't really mean it. He was exaggerating, he was just trying to assure the Malva, but he didn't really mean it. According to the Machne Ephraim, if he really put it in the right wording and in the right nusach, the Malva, you know, had a good Rebbe that told him how to write it in, so then that would be binding and the Beis Din could force him. So that's the second half of this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that not only can't we force him in a normal circumstance, we also can't force him even though he made a specific explicit stipulation in the beginning of the loan. But now we come, we always talk about honest people. How about the person himself, right? What are you talking in the beginning? Does the person himself have a moral obligation, a halakhic obligation to pay back the loan? The Beis Din can't force him, he's immune, point to Moshitas from the court. And in most places you won't write such a stipulation anyway. Let's just focus back on the first case where you borrowed money, $20,000, and you said, I'll pay you back in a certain time, and comes that time, things went bad, and you have no money left, whether it was your doing or not your doing, they can't force you to work. You never stipulated that you would, and there's no even Machne Ephraim here to help out the Malva. They can't force you to work. But you have a moral obligation on your own to work. Is there any problem? Is there any possible isser in you working to pay back that loan? Is there any possible isser? The Shari Mishpat says yes. He says that the Machlokas Rishonim. The Shari Mishpat, also here Siman Sadi Zion, says that whether you're allowed to work itself could be a Machlokas Rishonim. What's that based on? That's based on this last Gemara we have about Messiah Dafyura Mera Aluf. The Gemara over there is talking about if I pick up an object for me to own, so then it's my property. Suppose I pick up an object for you to own. If I pick up an object for you to own, do you make a kinyan at that time? Or can I change my mind and say, look, I changed my mind, I brought it home, and I realized I'm going to keep it for myself? Or do you say, no, you picked it up for me, it's a kinyan. So Gemara brings a raya from a worker. The Gemara says what a worker picks up belongs to his owner, and he can't keep it for himself. So that was what Rava said. So Amar Lei, Rav Nachman said back to Rava. Rav Nachman held that there's no raya from there because shiny toel, a worker is different. The yado ki ad bal habayisu. We have a rule is that if someone's working for another person, he's paid by the day. He's this person's worker for that day, so his hand is like the extension of his employer's hand. Yado ki ad bal habayisu. His hand is like the hand of the bal habayis. It's like the owner picked it up. So if he picks up something for his owner, for his bal habayis, so of course it belongs to bal habayis because it's like the bal habayis himself picked it up. But we don't see from there where someone's not related to this other person. Reuven just picks up an object for Shimon, who lives miles away, and he's not working for him. We don't see from there that Reuven's kinyan works for Shimon. So Gemara asks, how can you say that, or as well it goes back and says, how can you say that a worker is different and it's like his hand's like the extension of a ball of ice? But Amar Rav, Rav said, a worker is allowed to quit his job even in the middle of the day. So how can you say that the employer owns him? He's allowed to quit. So we should go back and have a good proof from here that if what he picks up belongs to his owner, it must be that even a stranger who picks up something for another person, that kinyan is valid. We can't consider his hand like an extension that he could put in the middle of the day. So Amar Leib, I'm not going to say back to Rava. No, really it's true. The hand of the worker is like the hand of a balabayas. And ki hadavai, when he quits in the middle, taimachrinahudiksi, that's just a different reason why he's allowed to quit. That's because there's a pasuk. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. The pasuk says, b'nei Yisrael are servants to me, to Hashem. Avadayhem. Hashem says they are my servants. But la avadim, la avadim. No one else has the ability to force a Jew to work against his will. It's usher for the employer to force him to work. If he wants to say, I want to leave, he's allowed to leave. Of course, he loses his pay for what he didn't do. But he has the right to leave. We spoke about this in our employment series, that this is a principle that any employer is allowed to quit if it causes a hefset. There's a whole different list of issues there. But he's allowed to quit without any ability of the employer to force him to stay. So the maskan of the Gemara is, the way Rav Nachman says, is that the owner's hand is like the hand of a bala bayis. But the reason he's allowed to quit is because otherwise he'd be like an eved. If he wasn't allowed to quit, he'd be like an eved, he'd be like a slave. And there's a part who says, avodayhem, you're my servants, and you shouldn't be a servant to other people. You're only servants to Hashem. We're only servants to Hashem. We can't be slaves to another person. Now the Rishonim ask Akasha, based on this question, how can anyone ever work? If you're working for someone, so then you're like an Eved, and right, this Gemara is saying that when you work for someone, you're like an Eved. Right? You're allowed to quit, but how can you ever work to start with? So Tosva says, you're right, really you should be asked to work. The only reason it's Mutter, Tosva is over there on the spot, he says, Mikomakom. Mutter Adam Lahaskar Asma, it's permitted for a person to hire himself out. The Dafka Evid Ivri Shani Yochel Lachsevo, it's only Osir to become an Evid Ivri who cannot quit in the middle. Veni Yosir Kodin Zaman El Bashtar Shichr, the only way you could leave early is if he pays him off and he needs a star, he needs a document, because right now he's like an Evid. That's Ori Mishum Avadayim. He violates the Isser of Avadayim. But a regular worker who could just say goodbye, I'm quitting, he does not have any problem with avodayim. He does not violate that issue. That's Tosus's answer. Dalgos Mordechai gives a different reason. Dalgos Mordechai says that's not what defines the difference between a slave and a non-slave. He has the same question, but Mitziyah Dafai and Zayin Tame effect. Dalgos Mordechai im kain kishem she'asu limkar be'evet ivri, if it's also to sell a person as an evet ivri, kakeh he also lahasker asmo. It should be also to hire the person out, him out, midikari hachapo, Evid, since we call him an Evid over here. V'yeshlomai, so the Mordechai answer is the poel lo mikri Evid. A worker is not called a slave. Elosochi, he's a hired hand. And hod yafinan leimi Evid, that's which we learn from Evid, that he's allowed to quit in the middle of the day. Hainu linyan kula, that's just a kula we learn out. That he's allowed to quit in the middle of the day. That's why the pasuk says ki mishnas char socher avodacha. He hired you a double working, the hainu sheish, which is the 6 years. And based on this, Dagas Mordechai, we spoke about this once, and the Ramah Paskins that way says that what's asur is to become an eved to work that time frame of 6 years, or since it says char socher 2 times 3, which equals 6. That's what the Mordechai says is also to do. It's also to commit yourself to a 3-year contract, to a 3-year term. That's what's also there. Ramah Paskins that way. We spoke about that also in the past, if there are any ways out of that. But the Mordechai says that's what is the defining mark of an Eved, that he's made a commitment for 3 years or 6 years, 3 years, the way the Ramah Paskins like the Mordechai. Right? So once again, how do you avoid this Isra of becoming an Eved? According to Tosfos, is when you take that job, you commit yourself, and when you take that job, you have the ability to quit whenever you want. Right? That way you're not like an Eved. An Eved can never leave. But you, when you take a job, you have the ability to quit when you want. So that avoids the problem of becoming an Eved. According to the Chacham Mordechai, how do you avoid becoming an Eved? Just make sure your contract is less than 3 years, and you won't be an Eved, you won't run into that problem. So the Shaar HaMishpat says, right, getting back to over here, can a person who owes money commit himself to work to get a job to pay back the loan? As Dama job, can he work for the Malva? So the Shaar HaMishpat says, well, it'll depend. According to the Mordechai, it's no problem. What's the problem? He's, as long as he doesn't make a 3-year contract, he'll work and commit. He can work for a company, he can work for the Malva, he can work for whoever he wants. Just don't make a 3-year contract, he won't be an Eved, and there's no problem. But according to Tosfos holds, you can't make a commitment to work for someone if you're not going to be able to quit. So over here, if you're working because you have to pay back your debt, so in a certain sense, you can't quit because you're now saying, okay, I owe $10,000, I'll work for 10 weeks, and $1,000 I'll earn each week, but that money will go to you. Or I'll work for you, instead of paying me, just deduct it from my wages. So since, in that sense, you can't quit, so the Shaar HaMishpat says, according to Tosfos, you would not be able to work in order to pay back the loan. That's what the Shaar HaMishpat says. The Achronim disagree with the Shaar HaMishpat. They want to say that even according to Tosfos, what do you want to say? A little bit, we hear what he's saying. What he's saying is, well, since according to Tosfos, you now have to work, so it's like an Eved, but you don't have to work. You can still quit in the middle if you want. It might be a bad thing to do because you do have this moral obligation to pay the loan, and that forces you to have to keep on working and not quit. But if you don't like this job, you can certainly quit this job and go look for another job and say, look, I don't like this employer, I don't like the circumstances here. And they're not forcing you to work on this job over here. Right? The Shaar HaMishpat says, but the fact that you have to work, that's already too much. That already makes you an Eved. But the others disagree with the Shaar HaMishpat, and they say that, but they're not forcing you right now. You can always quit in the middle. You accepted a fund, right? We said the Bezdin can't force you. That's out. The Bezdin can't force you to work. But you agreed to work, so you're right. You have a moral obligation, but that doesn't stop you from being able to quit this job and try another job if you want. So that's number one. It's hard to hear what he's saying. But besides that, the Shaar HaMishpat himself notes that we do paskin like the Mordechai, right? The Ramah paskins, you can't take a job that's going to be more than a 3-year contract, because that's what it defines you as an Eved, that term of service. And since we paskin like the Mordechai, then you can't have that term of service. That's what makes you an Eved. Anything less than that, there's no problem with being an Eved. So based on that, the Shaar HaMishpat himself seems to conclude that it is a person's moral obligation to work to pay back his loan, and just don't take a 3-year contract. Like that seems to be the conclusion. In addition, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav has this lashon. He says, quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the Eino Chayiv L'Hasker Asma, a person is not obligated to hire himself out, V'lo L'Asa Shum Alocha K'dei L'Fro, and he doesn't have to do any work in order to pay, Afa Pisha Nikra Lova Rasha V'Elo Yishalim, even though he's called a Rasha. So the Pisachei Choshen is medayik from that. Okay, so we can't force him to work, right? We can't force him to work, but we can advise him. You don't want to be called a Rasha. So it's mashma, the fact that he puts that together there, the Pisachei Choshen says that there is a good idea for you to work if you don't want to be called a Rasha. No one wants to be called a Rasha. So we advise you that you should work to avoid being called that Rasha. It's a second, besides the moral obligation that there might be, but maybe that's what it is, that you're called a Rasha if you don't carry out your moral obligations. So it does seem that there's a good case to, or a person on his own, to work. Now, I saw this halvala or halacha wants to say, but how far does that go? And suppose he has a job and was saying, now he should take a second job, he should become a cab driver at night or work at the toll booth or something like that. That's embarrassing or like ruin his quality of life. So he wants to say that it should be no more of a chiyuv than Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, we learned that a person doesn't have to embarrass himself. Zokin Veinelich Fi Chavod. A person doesn't have to embarrass himself to return an Aveda. So here also, there is no obligation to pay back because you don't have any money. You're really putter. You really don't have to pay back because Hashem set you up in a situation where you don't have any money anymore. What can you do? You don't have the money to pay. Okay, but you feel that you have a moral obligation to pay. It's a good thing that you're working and it's the right thing to do. But he says that you don't have to go and embarrass yourself. He brings some rayas from Hilchos Ksuvos. How much does the husband have to go to support his wife? How embarrassing a job does he have to take in order to do it? So, so ask a shayla before you decide to become a garbage collector in order to pay back that loan. Okay, now the last issue we spoke in the beginning. Suppose you had a job and the debt got so big that you weren't able to take anything home because every penny was going to the debtors, to the creditors. So the Imre Bina brings from the Radbaz. He says from the Radbaz, "Mistabru li shim hu raga lasas malacha." If he usually does work, ola haskir asma, or he usually hires himself out. But ata kadesh lo yikach baal chov. But now, in order that the baal chov shouldn't take my shayasa, everything he earns, ain't a rotz lasas. He doesn't want to work. He says, "Why should I work to pay them? I might as well stay home and learn." So kofin also lasas. Here, once again, it's the Bezdin. The Bezdin then has a right to force him, commercial hayaragil, to do what he had previously done. Right? We're not talking about our obligation anymore. Where if it's something that he had already worked, and now he's quitting his job in order that he shouldn't have to pay the creditors, so the Radbaz says, it makes sense to me that here Bezdin could step in and force him to work. However, the Imre Bina says, Ledina Tsarich Iyun. I'm not sure if the Radbaz is right. We never force a person to hire himself out to pay it back a chov. It just says, the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't force him. So what right do you have to say? Well, but if he quit a job, then we can force him. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, when he quotes this, you don't like that. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he quotes this halacha, he says, if he doesn't have anything to pay, we can't force him to hire himself out. And to force him to work, if he wasn't working until now, to pay up his debts. He didn't have this in mind when he lent him the money. He knew this person doesn't work, and he's not expecting him to get a job to pay back the loan. However, the deal from the Aruch HaShulchan is, if he was working at the time you lent him the money, and that's what he was doing, and now he decides to quit, so then the converse of this halacha is that if he was working, the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, you would have to. Now, what right do you have to force him? So it seems like the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, it's because it was like a tanai, it's some type of... it's hard to hear where it comes from. It was like some type of... Huh?
It would be a tumult if you're lending someone the money working because the G is being...
It doesn't work. At that time, though, he was planning on doing it. All it tells us only at that time he tricked you. He didn't know at that time he was going to lose the money and then, he thought he was going to make $1 million with the money and then pay it back. So what happens later, it doesn't become a mekach toz. So, but the Aruch HaShulchan does say, it isn't mashma, the Radbaz certainly says that the Bezdin could force him to work. The Aruch HaShulchan is mashma that we can force him to work, but certainly he has an obligation to work. I mean, that we're not taking away. Although let's just review what we've done, is not to confuse the two issues. Right, the first issue is, can a Bezdin force him to work? Can a Bezdin force this debtor to work to pay his creditors? So there, the Rush has two reasons why we cannot force him. First of all, it's exerus akasiv that we don't even go into his house to take a security. We certainly can't grab him as a security and force him to work. And second, is exerus akasiv, gneiva. So it's the person is sold for his gneiva, but not for any other debts. and to force someone to work, that's making him an eved, because there the Bezin was saying, you have to work now, and we can't do that, because we're making him into an eved. Even if he had made a stipulation in the beginning, the Shulchan Aruch passes, the Bezin still can't force him to work. The best, easiest reason to understand in that Shulchan Aruch was the precious, because he just meant it as an asmach, that was an exaggeration, he didn't really mean it. It's a tzuva, there it's a nusach, so everyone writes it, so then it's more possible that he would have to, that Bezin could force him to work. Now, in that context, can Bezin force him to work if he had a job and he quit the job because he doesn't want to pay his debtors? So, based on these two reasons, the same two reasons should apply. We have no right to make someone an eved for something other than a theft, and also we have no right to force him to be a security. Those reasons should apply. However, the Radvaz does say that we can force him in such a case. Our Chashulchan is mashma that the reason is because that was my das when I lent you the money. I saw you were working. I assume that you're going to continue working. You can't just quit in the middle. So there might be that way out. But once again, we always talk about honest people. And the honest borrower, even though he can't be forced to work, we had what we thought was a machlokas, whether he could. The Shar Mishpat wanted to say this machlokas, whether he's even allowed to work. Will he be violating the Isra of becoming an Eved? And he said, according to Tosus, he might be. But according to the Mordechai, he is not violating it as long as his contract is not more than 3 years. Since we passing like the Mordechai, there will be no problem in him taking a job to pay back the debt. And of course he should, as the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, because otherwise he could be called a Rasha. Lo ve'lo yishalim, he doesn't want to be called a Rasha. And it would certainly be advisable for him to take that job to pay back his debts.